quiz, hotshot. You're at the intro of a film podcast about Sandra Bullock. What do you do?
I love this movie so much.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to talk about this movie. It had been a really long time. Oh, by the way, I'm Bailey.
And I'm Chaney.
And this is Two Sisters Present
America's Sweethearts.
This is a podcast about women in film who we pick one person and explore their catalog of work by genre. Right now, we are focusing on the incomparable Sandra Bullock. And this was Chaney's choice. She drew action, correct?
Yes.
And she chose
Speed. Is there another choice? Well, I guess I could have picked Speed 2.
Yeah, I've never seen that, but I did see that it has what's-his-face in it from Lost Boys. Jason Patrick.
Yes, I didn't realize it was the same guy because he's like 20 years older. But also, Willem Dafoe was in it.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. It's so funny.
It's an interesting one. We'll talk a little bit about that further on into the podcast.
Great.
Anyway, do you want to give a quick synopsis of the movie?
Sure.
Okay.
There's a bomb on the bus. Just kidding. There's a terrorist that is putting bombs in places that are threatening civilians because they want money. And Jack Travern and his partner Harry are the ones that keep foiling this guy's plans. They think he died, but he's not dead, and he puts a bomb on two buses. One of them explodes immediately. The other one will only explode if it goes past 5 miles per hour and then slows down.
5 miles per hour?
Oh, sorry, 50 miles per hour. You know, the zero is just implied.
Can you imagine? If you go 5 miles over the speed limit, you're gonna explode. Okay, so we have lots of goodies today. This was, you know, I said that while you were sleeping, I said that that one was probably the easiest I had to research. This one was right there with it. It was pretty easy to figure out, lots of fun little things. And I have a few questions that I have to answer.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, on the last little mini episode, I asked some questions and you answered them. And I'll tell you whether you were right or wrong.
Okay.
But first, this is starring Keanu Reeves and, of course, our lady of the season, Sandra Bullock. This was in 1994, and no one wanted to be in this movie. So many actresses were approached, and so many men were approached. Nobody wanted to do this movie. Let's start with some awards. So, no one wanted to be in it, but it actually got a lot of acclaim. So,
yeah, I did see that critics were pretty enthusiastic about it.
Pretty enthusiastic. In fact, they knew that they had a hit on their hands when they did the preview audience, and people mm-hmm. were walking backwards to go to the bathroom because they didn't want to miss anything. And they were like, yes, we did it. We got this. Now, they did win some Academy Awards for Best Sound and Best Editing. And I have to tell you a quick story. So Nick was watching something on Facebook. I heard this song and I was like, I know that. And he was like, okay. I was like, that is the theme from Speed. And I was like, are you impressed with me? And he was like, no, why would I be? I don't know what you're talking about. And so I looked up the theme from Speed and I played it for him because it was just some video that had the theme song in the background. He was like, okay, I guess I'm a little impressed, but I'm more worried. And I was like, well, oh well. So best sound and best.
Well, I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. I was rather impressed with myself too. The sound in this movie is really visceral for me. I don't know, the music, mm-hmm. I've seen this movie so many times, but I still found myself, like, clicking my nails and mm-hmm. clenching my jaw, and it's just a really stressful movie.
It is.
It's really mm-hmm. good. It sucks you in, no matter how many times you've seen it. Okay, so They won those Academy Awards. They were also nominated for some other things, but that's what they won. They pretty much swept the MTV Awards with Best Kiss, Best On-Screen Duo, Best Actress, Best Actor, also Most Enticing Male Lead or something like that. MTV Awards, you know. They also got the Best Kids' Choice Awards for Actor and Actress. Which is really funny to me because I'm like, what kids are watching this movie?
We did.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I had to say was that I think of this as a cousin movie because this was one of the movies that we'd watch with our male cousins when we were all in the same place.
Oh, really?
That was actually how we first watched it. We were introduced to this movie through a scenario like that. Oh. Other cousin movies were A League of Their Own.
Oh, I love that one so much.
Major Pain.
Mm-hmm.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we had seen that one before, but that was one that we could all watch together. There is another one that I thought of, but now I can't think of it.
Oh, well.
Oh, The Water Boy.
Oh. Okay. So, some other awards. The Academy of Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror Films gave Sandra Bullock Best Actress. And I thought it was funny that it was science fiction, fantasy, and horror, but yet I chose this for action.
I mean, I guess, like, thriller kind of bleeds over into horror.
Yeah.
And this is a thriller. I feel like I would never call it horror, though.
No, but I would consider this action above all of those. But yeah. I don't know whether there is a society for action films that gives awards. I don't know. And then Blockbuster Entertainment also gave Sandra Bullock the Best Actress Award. So this really set her into the limelight. So I already mentioned that nobody wanted to do this, but Sandra Bullock actually did. She reached out to them and said, hey, can I please audition? And after she got the part, while she was filming Demolition Man, you mentioned that Rob Schneider was in it, although he wasn't credited. But I found proof that he was in it outside of his face actually being in the movie. But while she was filming Demolition Man, Rob Schneider befriended her. And upon hearing the premise of this movie, of Speed, he said he incorrectly dismissed what he called this bus movie as something that wouldn't succeed in the box office. So she was getting advice, like, even after she reached out, nobody wanted to do it. She reached out, auditioned, got it, was telling people about it, and people were like, no.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I feel if someone told me that there was going to be a movie where the majority of it happened on a bus because there was a bomb on the bus, I'd be like, how are they going to make that interesting into a whole movie?
Right. It does not seem like it would last a full hour and a half, let alone 5 minutes. So, okay, there was going to be an alternate title for this film.
Right.
Was it going to be Minimum Speed, The Bomber, Runaway Bus, or Don't Stop? Do you remember what your answer was?
I said Don't Stop.
You did say Don't Stop. You were wrong.
Ah! Well, they're wrong.
If you could guess another, which would it be? Minimum, The Bomber, Runaway Bus, or Don't Stop?
I say that Minimum Speed is closest to the actual name.
It is Minimum Speed. Would you go see a movie called Minimum Speed?
No. I mean, if the preview was good, but that's not an enticing name.
No, it seems like the opposite. It seems contrary to what it is.
Yeah. Like, what's a comparable title?
Driving Miss Daisy.
No, I'm thinking like The So-So Affair.
Yes. Mission Possible.
Mission Possible.
Mission You Might Succeed.
Yeah. The Man Who Knew Just Enough.
Okay. Moving on. So, starting with women, the other question I asked was, originally, they wanted a female comedian to play Annie. Yeah. And I said there was Ellen DeGeneres, Rosie O'Donnell, Wanda Sykes, or Janine Garofalo. And you said Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes.
Again, you were wrong. It was Ellen DeGeneres.
Weird.
Yeah. She's been in some movies. She's been in some movies, but this, I think, would have been the biggest role that she...
A big one.
Yeah. I don't think she was ever actually approached. They just wrote it with her in mind, and then I think the producers were like, actually, I think we need to go in a different direction. So,
gotcha.
Then their next person that they really, really wanted was Halle Berry, and she turned it down. Okay. All right. Now, here is the roller coaster. This is a long list, so buckle up, Buttercup. Pun intended. Okay.
All right.
Yep. Get ready for this minimum speed ride. Okay.
Wee.
Berry wasn't interested, nor was Meryl Streep, Kim Basinger, Joan Cusack, Gina Davis, Melanie Griffith, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Brooke Shields, Madonna, Demi Moore, Gwyneth Paltrow, Michelle Pfeiffer, Sharon Stone, Lee Thompson, and Deborah Winger. And none of them wanted it.
Wow, that's everybody.
Everybody. I think that they just didn't ask. Let's see. Well, both of our former... God, what is the name of our podcast? America's Sweethearts. or Meg Ryan. Those are the only people they didn't ask. Yeah, but Sandra Bullock won the role. I mean, I'm sure that there were other people that were interested. We just don't know who they were. But Sandra was interested and auditioned and got the part. And was paid $200,000 for it. So, compared to some of the other movies, not her highest grossing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah. Then, we have The Boys. Now, this list is even longer.
Whoa.
Various offers were put out for this role. And the people who turned it down include... Kevin Bacon, Alec Baldwin, Stephen Baldwin, William Baldwin, Michael Bein? Bein? Behind? B-E-I-H-N. I don't know him. Sorry, Michael. Jeff Bridges, Jim Carrey, Nicolas Cage, Bruce Campbell, George Clooney, Kevin Costner, Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Michael Douglas, Richard Dreyfuss, Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford, Richard Gere, Mel Gibson, Tom Hanks, Woody Harrelson, Michael Keaton, Viggo Mortensen, Chuck Norris, Brad Pitt, Dennis Quaid, Mickey Rourke, Kurt Russell, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tom Selleck, Wesley Snipes, Sylvester Stallone, Patrick Swayze, John Travolta, Jean-Claude Van Damme, and Bruce Willis.
Oh my gosh. You know, and they went to different age groups as well.
Yes.
Some of them would have been older men. There was one, you went by so quickly, there was one that I was like, oh yeah, Nicolas Cage, I think would have been an entirely different movie.
Can you imagine if it was Nick Cage and Ellen DeGeneres?
No, I can't.
So actually, she, I guess it was maybe 2017, maybe, had Sandra Bullock on her show, and then like two, mm-hmm. or a year later, she had Keanu Reeves, but I think it was the Keanu Reeves one. She had him on the show, and she was like, hey, did you know that I was actually, wrote this movie with me in mind? And he was like, I didn't know that. And she was like, let me show you a clip of what it would be like. And she did a video of her driving a bus. You should look it up. It's pretty funny. Definitely a different movie. So yes, with her and Nicolas Cage, that would have been, I kind of want that to happen.
Yeah. I will say that knowing that the part was intended for a comedian, I think the character of Annie makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, I know we'll get to this, but Annie is very assertive and sometimes like in this very, this way was just like, read the room, Annie. And I guess like I could see a comedian like really, really hamming that up.
Yeah, one of the lines that comes to mind is he just jumps on the bus and she has to assert herself and say, excuse me, have you lost your mind?
Yeah. It's just really funny.
Okay, you stick yourself in that situation, girl, that's fine. Okay, so all of these actors were offered the role, but director Jean Debon, I'm putting a French spin to that. I don't know whether he is or not.
Sounds thought good to me.
Thought Keanu Reeves was a great fit after seeing him in Point Break. Now, this led to a little bit of controversy because 20th Century Fox were not convinced that Keanu Reeves had enough star clout in front of the film, so they insisted that they had a big named actress beside him, which is why they were going towards Halle Berry, or, you know, one of the other million actresses that they asked. Mm-hmm. But Jean DeBont refused, and Fox relented to his casting of Sandra Bullock. So really, it was the director that cast both of them, and kudos to him because they're magic together. They're great.
Yeah. Great chemistry.
It's really, really sad that they haven't done more films together. They did The Lake House. I need more. I want more Keanu and Sandra movies. Maybe someday we'll be lucky enough to get one. But Fox was also concerned after they were cast because they cut off Keanu Reeves' hair. And in Point Break, it was long. And they thought, no one is going to like this. No one's going to like him with short hair. This isn't going to work. And then he became Keanu from this. Keanu!
Right.
Anyway, we have our leads. Now, the original script, Harry, his partner, who was played by Jeff Daniels,
mm-hmm.
Harry actually ends up being the bad guy.
Really?
Wrap your head around that for a second.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff.
Yeah. The producer liked the twist until he realized a month before the production that Jeff Daniels' character turning out to be the heel wasn't going to be believable enough.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like I said, a month before production. They changed the character. That's crazy. Crazy.
Wow. Well, they added a character.
Yeah. Yeah. The bomb was also set to go off at 20 miles per hour. So you were kind of close with your 5 miles per hour. Oh,
wow, that's not nearly as exciting.
No. I mean, that's... Hey, I mean, it was called minimum speed.
Yeah, so maybe that was an accurate title at the time. Yeah.
And then the bus was going to circle around Dodger Stadium, not LAX, before blowing up the Hollywood sign.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I think they made all the right choices.
I don't know how that bus would have gotten to the Hollywood sign, though. Isn't that, like, on a cliff face?
Yes, I think so. And I have no idea where that is in comparison to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, also a good point.
Oh, okay. So I'm also watching the movie, and this just triggered a little fact that I read. So Annie is just running to the bus, and you see the bus number. Do you know what the bus number is?
No.
2525, which makes... What does 25 plus 25 make, Bailey?
Oh, 50. I'm sorry, I was trying to make the numbers into letters and see if it spelled speed. Like, that's where... I guess it is morning, so...
Yeah, no, you're overcomplicating it. It equals 50, and what is the magic number of their speed?
50.
Which is why he chose the bus, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, so back... Sorry, I threw a lot of facts in there, but really what I was getting at was Howard Payne, the bad guy. It was originally Harry, but then they changed it. And the people that they wanted for the role... Do you want to try to guess this?
Sir Anthony Hopkins.
No, but that's a pretty good guess.
Rutger Hauer.
No, same age range.
Jack Lemmon?
No, different Jack, though.
Jack Skellington. I don't know. I don't know who another Jack is.
Yes, you do. Nicholson.
Oh, Jack Nicholson. Why didn't I come up with that one?
Jack Nicholson and Robert De Niro were considered for the role, but eventually it went to Dennis Hopper. So you have our four main people, Harry, Jack Travern, Annie, and Payne. There are a couple of other names in this show, like Alan Ruck. He plays Stevens, who's the tourist on the bus. He plays Cameron in Ferris Bueller. And mm-hmm. He originally, in the script, was supposed to die. And then after Alan Ruck was cast, they were like, we can't kill Cameron. So, so he got to live.
Even though his character's a little obnoxious.
It is. The one thing that I've learned from this movie is you don't want to be a tourist in LA.
No.
Because, I mean, take Alan Ruck. He goes to the airport, gets on a bus. The bus is bombed. He ends up back at the airport. That's all he gets to see. And then at the very end, when they're on the train and the train goes through the tunnel and comes out on the street, they hit a tourist car, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's pretty exciting, right? Except the only person that can get out of the car because of where the train hit them, it's blocking the door for all of the tourists. The only person that can get out is the driver. So all the tourists are stuck in that van.
There was a lot of people staring at them kissing, taking videos and pictures and stuff.
Well, if you keep watching, that's just people from the street. Like, the
walking
keeps
around with a video camera?
Yeah, the people keep coming out, and I'm sure okay. There are other tourists. It's LA.
I mean, this was 1995. Everybody walked around with a video camera.
It was 94, Bailey.
Oh, excuse me. You don't fire on me
Leave
for making
your
a joke.
Facts at home today. Today okay. is my fact day.
It is your fact day.
It is my fact day.
The other person that I recognized from the cast, which I never knew her name before, Beth Grant.
Yes.
I see her mm-hmm. in so many things.
Yeah, she was in, she's in Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
You have not seen that movie?
No.
Bailey. I mean, one, it has Stalker Channing in it, who's amazing. But those men, Wesley Snipes and Patrick Swayze and John Leguizamo, it's such a good movie. I can't believe you've never watched that. Everyone needs to watch Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. That is on your agenda. You must okay. schedule this in on your calendar. It is okay. a must.
Okay.
You will love it. You will love it, Bailey. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, moving on. So, Sandra Bullock, when she was cast, she actually had to learn how to drive a bus for filming. She had to get a specific license so that she could drive a bus. And she passed her test on the very first try.
Wow.
I know. Look at her. Look at her. But despite having a license, there was still a stunt driver that had to drive the bus. So they actually set it up so that the person driving the bus was actually on top of the bus.
Oh. What? How?
Yeah, Sandra was still at the wheel. So there were two wheels of the bus, but only one of them had control. I don't know how. That's magic to me.
That seems terrifying.
Yeah, I'd be afraid of bridges.
Yeah. You'll end up like Dennis Hopper.
Exactly, you'll end up like Howard Payne in this movie. Okay, so I think I have way more than five facts, and I think I've already done way more than five, but oh well. Oh well. So
I won't tell.
So in this movie, Sandra Bullock plays opposite a character named Jack. Now, do you remember another movie where she plays opposite a character named Jack?
While You Were Sleeping?
While You Were Sleeping. And she also plays against another character named Jack in The Net. So,
oh,
Jack just seems to be her counterpart. Which, have you seen The Net?
No, I haven't. Or if I have, it was a long time ago.
Another good one. That was my second pick for an action movie if I did not pick this one. But I had to go with Speed. So, one of the biggest moments in this film is when the highway is undone and they have to jump the bus,
uh-huh.
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, they actually did film on an unfinished highway.
Yeah.
And because of that, the crew actually had to paint all the pavement lines and put up highway signs themselves because it was unfinished. But the bus, they actually got, I think, 11 buses to film over the course of this movie, and they had to use two of them for that jump. And the first one, they miscalculated and the bus hit all the cameras. So, oops.
Yikes.
Yep. And then the second shot, the bus went, I think, too high, and that's why it kind of goes out of frame, because they just had the calculations wrong, I guess.
Okay, so I have a question about this scene, because, like, I put this in several times where I want to talk to an expert, because the physics there, the gap in the highway is pretty level.
Uh-huh.
You know, and but in the movie, the bus is thrown upward as if it's on a ramp or an incline.
Well, I think they say in the movie that there might be an incline. So
yeah, but when you see it, there's not.
Well, maybe there was an incline and then it kind of straightens out right at the last like 10 feet. So they still had enough momentum to get them going.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a movie. Fall into the magic.
Okay.
Speaking of, there was one critic that did not fall into the magic. And it was someone from the... Oh, let me just say, a lot of what I'm saying are quotes from things that I have found. So thank you, people that I've stolen this from.
Just mass anonymous credit.
There was so much information out there. I can't even remember where I found all my stuff. Some of it was IMDb. Some of it was other things. So thank you, internet. Sorry. Okay. So a critic from the New York Times wrote in her review that she just didn't understand if the bus was needed to not go over 50 miles when Jack Travern was there and he like hit the bus, why didn't he just shoot the wheels so that it couldn't go? And then it would have just stopped the whole thing from happening.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is fair. And the writer was like, I didn't realize that. Slight oversight, but if I had realized it, I would have. The guy in the Porsche that he ends up stealing the car from to chase down the bus, he would have had him accidentally hit Jack and prevent him from shooting it. So easy fix, just something that, you know, wasn't noticed. And actually, when Jack hits the bus and breaks the window, that was a complete accident. But they liked it, so they kept it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of improv, the moment where Sandra gets on the bus, she sits down and she sits next to Alan Ruck. And and she's like, oh, there's gum on my seat. Gum.
Gum.
Improvised. Where she pulls it out of her mouth and, yeah, improvised.
Okay. Okay. I thought, like, the way that she pulls that out is, like... Yeah, not necessary. Yep. Not necessary to do that, but I thought that is a really good way of how to treat getting out of awkward unwanted conversations. But even better to have gum on you that's flavored with something like garlic or sardines so that they move and you can stay where you are but still using gum.
Yeah, but then you would have had to have that garlic or sardine gum in your mouth.
Well, but then you are insured, like, a 5-foot radius around yourself at all times. So you're not going to be bothered by any close talkers or, you know, ramblers or anything like that.
As long as the scent is stronger than the flavor and it doesn't stick in, like, you can take the gum out and then the scent does not stay with you. Like, it needs to be just for that specific time when it's in your mouth, and then...
Well, maybe, like, this can be marketed as, like, a kit. You know, a kit for unwanted conversations. So you have your sardine-flavored gum, and then an accompanied little thing of Banaca, so that you can spray it in your mouth afterwards and, like, get rid of that gnarly scent.
You know what, Bailey? If you can figure this out and make it so that people would want to put it in their mouth and chew it, good for you.
Hey, why did you pause it?
Potty break.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Don't go too far. We'll be right back. Enjoying Two Sisters Present America's Sweethearts? Feel free to leave us a review.
Tell us what you love.
And if you must, tell us what you don't love.
I don't love mayonnaise.
I mean about the podcast.
Right.
Contact us through Twitter, Instagram, or email.
Find our handles on our website, www.twosisterspresent.com.
You can also join our Patreon with exclusive content and access to picking your own movie or artist for us to cover.
What? You can pick the next America sweetheart?
Sure can. Find out all the info at www.patreon.com/twosisterspresent.
Thank you and goodbye.
Later.
In a time when quarantine cabarets and digital performances are widespread and flourishing, chances are you've needed backing tracks, especially for those songs that might not be as mainstream. Well, the great people at Let's Play It Recordings have got you covered. Your on-demand digital accompanist and orchestra.
For over 10 years, Let's Play It has been providing performers and organizations around the world with professionally produced backing tracks for study, auditions, demos, and more. Ranging from piano accompaniment to fully orchestrated instrumentals and specializing in productions that are less commercially available.
They even offer customer orders. If you've got sheet music and need it recorded, they're here to help, along with a large catalog of their own material available for production.
All backing tracks are studio quality, catered alongside friendly customer service, and all at affordable prices with you, the performer, in mind.
So head over to letsplayitrecordings.com to see and hear for yourself. Take a look at their catalog, hear backing track samples, see all of their production services, and request your order today. Mention Two Sisters Present, and you'll even get 10% off your order.
That's letsplayitrecordings.com, your digital accompanist and orchestra. Ready?
Oh, super ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Now, Bailey.
Yes.
One of the most important things about this movie, and I say this in jest, but also in sincerity, is that this movie saved lives.
What?
This movie actually saved lives. There was an instance when a schoolboy saved the lives of a school bus full of kids when the driver had a heart attack, climbed into the driver's lap, jumped on the brake pedal, and he pulled the bus to the side of the road and asked later why he did it. He told them that he had seen the bus movie.
See, there you go. There's some kids.
Speed saves lives. Yes, you're right. You're right. There was one kid that watched. He's the one that voted for everything in the Kids' Choice Awards. So the movie that nobody wanted to be in, that everybody thought was going to fail, grossed $121 million in the U.S. and Canada and $350 million worldwide against their $30 million budget. So that's over 10 times.
That's quite a profit.
Yeah. Now, I had mentioned Speed 2 at the very beginning of this episode. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Sandra Bullock agreed to star in the sequel so she could get financial backing for the movie Hope Floats, which is I love that movie. Now, the reason Keanu declined to star in the sequel was because he was not ready to mentally and physically take on the role. This role was particularly hard for him because it was right after the death of one of his very good friends, River Phoenix. So he was very much grieving that loss when this movie started. He kept to his trailer a lot, but then Sandra and him became friends and kind of helped him through that process. And seeing a lot of videos of them, they're so cute. And like they really love each other and respect each other and became really, really good friends. And this is kind of segueing into this fun little thing. Apparently, they both have had crushes on each other at the time of filming, but neither of them knew it until, like, 30 years later. I say 30 years later. It hasn't been 30 years since 95. But they both found out on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Aww.
So it brings it all full circle. Ellen, who was supposed to be in the movie, brings them on the show separately, and they find out Sandra was on the show first and says that she had a crush on him, and then Ellen brings Keanu on the show, like, 2 years later and shows the clip of Sandra saying, yeah, I would look at him and just giggle because he was just so cute, and I had a crush on him, and he was like, I guess she didn't realize that I had a crush on her, too, and America went wild, and what? It started a frenzy of how Sandra and Keanu were always meant to be together and their love just needs to flourish. But Sandra is
Keandra.
In a
Keandra.
Keanu. Keanu. But Sandra is in a loving relationship currently, and people need to respect that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the internet is in love with Keanu Reeves. There's
in love.
Millions of memes of him being a good guy.
Oh, well, and he is. Like, just him talking about Sandra, the way he talks about her, it's so respectful. He has such an admiration for her, and it's really lovely to see that. And I think that that's part of it. And there's also the lonely Keanu thing that's going around. And Sandra actually made a comment saying, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine. If he wanted to be with someone, he could be. Right. He's okay.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if anybody wanted to be in a relationship and wouldn't have a problem finding one, it would be Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. So they've maintained contact. They're still really good friends. And, of course, they did the lake house together. And I think they're still waiting. They've been trying to find a movie that would work for them. So they're still looking for a movie that they can do together that would rekindle that on-screen chemistry.
Awesome. Yeah. I can't wait.
Okay, that's all the facts that I have now that I've spoken for almost an hour. All right, so what do you want to talk about now?
Well, the first thing that I have on my list here is to talk about, because I was pretty young when I watched this movie, it was the first time that I saw anyone kill someone with an ice pick, and that really terrified me. I thought it was probably one of the most violent things that I had ever seen in a movie.
That's at the very beginning, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty brutal.
I also want to say, just to skip ahead a little bit, because we already brought this up, the gap in the freeway, I think that that has influenced so many nightmares at night for me, because I've had so many dreams of being in a car and there being a gap in the freeway, or like a gap in a roller coaster, something like that, and the car just like goes flying off the edge. So I hadn't made the connection until I was watching this movie for this podcast, but I'm pretty sure that it influenced a lot of nightmares.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a fun dream. I mean, if you landed the car or the roller coaster every time like Sandra Bullock does, then that's great. But yeah, that's scary.
Yeah. I will also say that this movie is full of moments where I feel really badly for a single person. It's just like the whole time I'm like, aw, poor person. Like, it starts with the woman that freezes in the elevator.
Yes. Which I see a big comparison between the woman in the elevator and Helen in the bus. Except they do different things. They act on their fear differently. The woman in the elevator can't move, whereas Helen, in her fear, has to get out. So, but I feel like their characters are very similar, except for that one instance.
Yeah, I don't know why I want to talk about dreams so much, but do you ever have elevator dreams? Because I have them, you know, at least once a year.
No, I have every other kind of dream, but not elevator dreams.
The elevator scene at the beginning is very scary. It's surprising to me every time how calm everyone is in the elevator after it already plunges once. And like, they are in a crowded elevator, they're all crammed together, and they're all very calm until they realize that, you know, something isn't right.
I mean, I would be on somebody's shoulders trying to get that panel open at the top so we can all crawl out and just be in the
elevator shaft
and not be in a plummeting. I was actually thinking about this last night as I was watching the movie again. I don't know how I would be on the bus. I was not thinking about the elevator, just, you know, the bus in general, because I would need to do something. So unless I was Annie and driving the bus, I would be going out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't just be a passenger. I'd have to try to find a way to figure it out. And yeah, otherwise I would go
terrifying.
Crazy.
Terrifying. Right.
So bringing you back to the elevator, yeah, I'd be trying to find a way to get out. I wouldn't just be a sitting duck. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I don't have severe claustrophobia, but when I feel like I'm trapped, you know, if as long as I'm on an elevator and I know the elevator doors are going to open soon, I'm fine. But in a situation like that, I would start to feel like I couldn't breathe.
You know, now that I think about it, elevators and a bus and probably a plane would be the worst situations for me, because I don't typically get claustrophobic unless there's no air circulation. And those three places, there's no air circulation. No. So I would get really, I would probably get really hot, have to take all my clothes off.
Then you'd be the crazy naked lady.
I'd be the crazy naked lady on the bus. No, the only places that I really get claustrophobic when there is air circulation is dressing rooms when I'm trying on clothes and then I can't get the clothes off.
Oh, that's an awful feeling. I've gotten that so many times when going vintage clothes shopping. Yes. And I put on a dress that is just like probably a little too small for me, uh-huh. but I can still fit into it.
Yes.
And then trying to get out of it and trying not to rip it. It's yep. like,
Yeah, especially a dress, and then you have it over your head and your arms are stuck, and then you're vulnerable alone in a locked room, and you can't move, and you're hot.
And you can't see.
You can't see. Oh, yeah, that's my nightmare. Dressing rooms.
That's pretty good.
What's next?
Well, I want to say when Jack Travern, Keanu Reeves, realizes that the terrorist is still there mm-hmm. and he's in the other elevator, mm-hmm. he has this weird line where he says, "Would mystery guest please sign in?" To which Harry replies, "What?" And there's like no more to that, but I have to agree, like, what the heck does that mean? Would mystery guest please sign in?
He's saying, will the suspect make himself known? Will he, is he gonna be here?
I know, but I'm totally on board with Harry there.
You know what? I'm with Jack. I followed it.
Okay, all right. Well, we just diverged there.
So, question. You know, you have these really smart cops, right? I mean, Harry is more of the intellectual, the, like, book smart, where Jack is more of the trust my gut, street smart. Mm-hmm.
Intuitive.
But both of them are pretty good cops, you know? They're smart guys. They talk about, you know, what would you do if a terrorist had a hostage, what would you do? And Jack's like, shoot the hostage. I don't know when that situation actually happens, and then Jack shoots Harry because he's the hostage.
Yeah, almost immediately after they have that conversation.
Almost immediately. I have always heard it, I mean, as a woman, we have to be prepared just in case if someone comes behind us. I mean, I guess everybody should be prepared if someone should come behind you. But I've always heard, go limp, because it is a lot harder to drag the weight of your body when you're not walking.
Yeah, that's a really fair point.
You walking makes it easy for them. So if you go limp, they can't drag you. So all Harry had to do was go limp, and then he wouldn't have had to be shot.
Right. I mean, Jeff Daniels is I think he's a pretty tall man. So, yeah, that would have been really hard to carry a ragdoll Jeff Daniels.
Sorry.
Bless you, my dear child.
Okay, what's next? What's next?
Okay, so they think that the terrorist has died in an explosion, and they're both given awards, and Keanu is in a bakery saying hi to his bus driver friend. I want to say, like, it's really nice how friendly everyone is with their bus drivers.
Yeah. In this movie.
I mean, I've definitely ridden the bus, but I've never been a regular bus rider, except for, you know, a couple summers when I was taking the commuter bus to downtown. But nobody talked to each other. Everybody was really quiet. Nobody talked to the bus driver. I'm not even sure if we had the same bus driver every day. So I think it's really sweet that, you know, not only are they, do they know, like, their bus drivers by name, but it's almost like there's a little community on the bus. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of those bus riders know each other, except for the tourist that happens to be on the bus, too.
I would say probably about 75% are strangers, but the fact that anybody knows anybody, to me, is amazing.
Right.
Yeah, whenever I got on the bus, I didn't know a soul.
Right. So with the Jaguar man.
Yes.
Which is like how he's credited too.
He's great.
Who is played by Glenn Plummer. Yeah, he's great. So like right before Jack hops off of out of his car and into the bus, he asks, "You have insurance, right?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then like opens the door and slams on the brakes so that the door is ripped off of the Jaguar. I am not sure that insurance would cover that. This is another instance where I want to talk to an expert.
I think they would, because your car was commandeered by a cop. Any damage then is no longer your fault, is no longer your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, because cops are paid by the city, so I don't know how the legality of that works.
Yeah, I just wonder if the city would be paying for that.
I don't know, but I don't think it would be his responsibility. But I do love after the car rips off and then Jack's like, "Well, I need your phone." He's like, "Take the phone. The phone doesn't even matter anymore. You just ripped off my car door." But every time he hits the water barrier and he comes out of the car, every time I watch this movie, I do with him. Just, I love it. It's so good.
I feel like this is the first, it was through this movie that I learned that those barrels at a fork in the road on highways have water in them. I think that this is where I learned that, was from this movie.
Yeah. So it's at the ramp part.
Mm-hmm.
There is an incline. And then for the last about 20 feet of it, it flattens out, but they do have that incline first.
Okay. I'm still not convinced.
I don't know.
For how far the bus was kicked up in the air. But yeah, so then, I had another like poor person moment with like poor Sam. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't deserve to get shot. And I feel like Sam is one of the big heroes of the movie because he's losing all that blood and he's still able to tell Jack how to get under the bus.
Yes.
And he tried to keep his foot on the gas pedal as long as he could, too.
Yep. Oh, Sam.
I would like to know how he was doing after they got him off the bus and they took him to the hospital. Like, we never really got to check in with Sam again.
I think Sam's fine. It looked like he was shot in the shoulder. Yes, he lost a lot of blood, but they rushed him to that hospital, pumped him with more blood, sewed him up. He's fine. Sam's fine.
Right. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll feel good about that. So we learn that Annie is she's driving the bus and she's riding the bus in the first place because she's a speedster.
Yes.
Which is like, of course. Have you ever gotten a speeding ticket?
Yes.
Any good stories there?
No. No, I just trying to get to work in the mornings. Traffic is always awful in the morning in Houston. And I was running behind because of the traffic. So I finally got to a point where I could go a little bit faster and try to catch up on the late time. And the cops said, "No, you cannot do that." But I ended up taking a driver's ed course to take that off of my insurance. Because if you take the course, then they remove that. Remove it from your insurance. So yeah. I did the Comedy Central driving test course, and it's narrated by Christopher Walken. It's not the actual Christopher Walken, I don't think, but it was really funny, and I passed.
Well, yeah, they made it entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to have to take a driver's ed course, why not do one that's entertaining? What about you? Any entertaining stories?
I mean, mine are all, like, full of tears.
Yeah, I feel like for most people, getting a speeding ticket or any ticket in general is not super exciting.
Yeah, I mean, the last time I got a speeding ticket, it was because there's this road in Austin that always has a blinking yellow light for a train, but there's also a school zone there. And I saw the yellow lights, and I wasn't used to driving at that time of day. I thought it was just the train lights. I wasn't really paying attention. Plus, I had a really, really terrible headache. And I felt so badly about it afterwards, but I was speeding through a school zone. And I got pulled over. And and of course, I started crying because I didn't even understand that I was speeding. I didn't even know. Because I just thought it was the train. But I also took the defensive driving course.
Yeah. So speeding through a school zone, the bus is, you know, has to keep speeding.
Yes.
Or it will explode. And I'm sorry. First off, there was the lady with the baby stroller that Sandra hits the baby stroller.
Oh, and her reaction is perfect.
You look both ways before you cross the street, okay? All right, and then we keep moving.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Then there's sirens at this point. The bus is being escorted. There are sirens everywhere. And granted, I know that there are a lot of sirens in LA, but if you hear sirens around you, you should probably look. And especially if you are transporting children across the road, maybe look where the sirens are coming from. Unless you're just trying to kill those children.
Yeah, I wrote that down. I said, this person probably shouldn't be looking after children if they don't know to look both ways after there's police escort, like, zooming through an intersection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really frustrating.
Yeah. They were just in a hurry to cross that street.
I just wanted to say, like, when I was a kid, I was really angry at Helen for running out of the bus. Like, there's all these other people on the bus.
Right, she could have killed all of them.
Right. But watching it as an adult, I'm more angry with the officers because they had been told of the situation. They were encouraging her.
Well, first, they just got a man that was shot. They needed to be rushing to the hospital at that point. But instead, they go against what Jack has already told them, which is if anybody gets off this bus, he will blow it up. They stick around and try to coax Helen off the bus. Yeah. It's their fault. It is their fault that she died and nearly killed everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really dumb.
Because she was acting out of fear. They knew better.
Yeah. When they're at the airport and Jack is underneath the bus. And Annie's driving the bus like all the time. Like she had been the whole time. And Ortiz is over her shoulder and says, yeah, now just keep it steady. And Annie says, great tip, Ortiz. So if anybody is wondering what mansplaining is, there's a very good example right there.
So speaking of that kind of dichotomy, one of the lines that really gets me is after the bus explodes, they're trying to set Payne up with the money, and he actually finds Annie and, you know, straps a bomb to her, takes her into the train, and he goes, it's not because you're a woman. Oh, good. I'm going to be killed by someone who is good with equality. Like,
why was that even brought up in the first place?
Exactly. Weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes me feel so much better. You're killing me just because. It's not because I'm a woman. Yay.
Yay. just another, like, another example of why I just love Annie. And because of her assertiveness, that's just like to this extreme that when she's been through this horrible, terrible, traumatic experience and she's getting cleaned up by a paramedic who like is cleaning up her wounds and they put something like, I guess, alcoholic on her wound. And she goes, watch it.
They're helping you, girl. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just classic Annie.
Yeah. Which I don't understand. Why she was even close to the drop site. Why they even brought her along for the sting.
No, I don't understand that either. I feel like Jack just must have brought her because they already felt connected. I have to say that, you know, when they get out of the bus and he's over her and she says, you're not gonna get mushy on me, are you? And he's like, maybe, what if I am? And like, in my head, I'm like, no, don't. Don't. It's just like, no. This is not the time.
What other time? They're off the bus. Their lives are saved. They're feeling alive.
They know each other a little bit better. It just made me really uncomfortable.
But, yeah. Because she was still in the ambulance. So, I don't know why she was there. I mean, maybe for questioning. But then why wouldn't someone just take her back to the station?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's weird. It's very confusing why she is there.
That's my biggest loophole question. I mean, there's lots of holes that you can probably poke in this movie, But that's the one that I'm like, that seems like a weird writing choice.
Well, a big one for me is I feel like there's a lot more people that actually died in this whole scenario that they just kind of never mention. Like, there must have been a pilot driving that airplane. No.
It was being dragged by...
Okay, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take that off the list. Who has ever seen a subway train with only one car? There should be other cars connected to this train, and they go on to one car and clear it out. Subways are usually filled with people. How would everybody know that there is a man with a gun in one of the cars on the train? But then when you see them through the end there, when they're going through the unfinished part, there is just one car there. There's just one car going through that unfinished area, which is just kind of strange to me. There's one car, and then it hits a pole, and it breaks in half.
I think it breaks off the rest of the train first, and then that one car goes careening, and then it hits the pole. So I think that there are, but that doesn't mean that there weren't more people further back on the train.
Right.
But we can hope that since the front of the train is what derailed, that maybe the rest of the train stayed upright and was fine.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll also say that that Howard's death is so sudden. It's just like, you know, he's holding him. He's like, I'm smarter than you, Jack. I'm smarter than you.
And I'm taller.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't play that role. I couldn't be Howard Payne because I'm never taller than Keanu Reeves.
How tall is Keanu Reeves?
I don't know. Let me see. He is 6'1". So, almost a foot taller than me.
Okay. Wow, he's taller than I expected.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't look that tall in the movies, I have to say.
No, he looks, I would say maybe 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
Taller than Tom Cruise, but not super tall.
Yeah, and then the last thing that I had was, you know, in the final scene where they have their intense moment once again, where they survive together in the train. And this time, they do kiss. And did you notice that there's, like, glass falling on them while they're kissing? Mm-hmm. I just, like, that seems like a terrible idea. I don't think glass and kissing should really mix.
What I love is there's this train that just flew from the sky into the road. And all these people are surrounded looking at it. And there's
like,
this
oh,
one,
how romantic.
Yeah, there's this one woman that's like, oh, look at them. Oh, isn't this sweet? Like, there's a train in the road.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of other things to be commenting on.
Oh, love.
And that's really about it.
Well, yeah, I think that about covers it. I love this movie so much. It's a ride. It's a ride and not minimum speed.
No, definitely not. It is a stressful movie.
Yes, and Speed 2 just doesn't quite get there. It's on a boat.
Yeah, their working title was Mediocre Speed.
But hey, it's fun. All of them are fun. Sandra Bullock is great.
Yeah. Yeah, she's great in this.
What are we doing next time?
Thank you for asking. It was my choice, and I picked fantasy.
Yeah, you drew fantasy.
I drew fantasy, and I feel like there was only one conceivable choice, which was practical magic.
Yay!
Yeah.
I'm so excited about that one.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. It's a great movie. Great witch movie. Sure.
Do you want to put the lime in the coconut and we can
drink it all up?
Yeah, drink some margaritas while we podcast.
Absolutely. Midnight margaritas.
Yes. I'm so excited about that one. Well, I can't wait to get that one going. And until then, this has been Two Sisters Present
America's Sweethearts. Ciao.
Don't drive too fast.